here's a story from The World.
Being gay is still illegal in many countries around the world, but 1 in 3 people seeking asylum in Europe because of risk of persecution due to their sexual orientation are routinely rejected. This is according to the findings of a study carried out in Britain, Germany, and Italy over the last 4 years. Moira Dustin from the University of Sussex, who led the UK part of the research, joins me. Moira Dustin, tell me some of the countries they are from.
Cameroon, Nigeria, Uganda, in Africa, in the Middle East, we've got lots of people coming from Syria, Libya, a lot of people coming from Pakistan, and also lots of people coming from Central America as well. You know, all over the world, from some of the many countries where homosexuality, and I'm using the term in inverted commas, is still criminalized.
What sort of proof do they have to present to immigration officials, say in the case of the UK?
It's very difficult for people because they've been hiding their sexuality all their lives. So they're not going to have evidence of relationships or anything really in terms of paperwork to kind of present to make their case. A lot of people we found when they arrive in Europe, whatever country they arrive in, they don't know that you can claim asylum on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. And that leads to problems because they then don't make a claim for asylum as soon as they arrive. And that can be an additional factor that is seen as undermining their credibility when they do come to make a claim.
The statistic we mentioned earlier was that 1 in 3 people seeking asylum in Europe because of risk of persecution due to their sexual orientation are rejected. So for the 1 in 3 who are accepted for asylum, what proof have they provided, or why is their case being accepted and the other 2 out of 3 aren't?
Yeah, I mean, in the UK, I think there's a particular problem, which is that people, if they do claim asylum when they arrive on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity, they won't at that point have the evidence that they need to make their case. So quite often they will be initially refused and then they will spend months or perhaps years waiting for an asylum appeal, during which time they may get involved in LGBT organisations and gather some of the evidence that the Home Office requires to recognise their claim. But it's very difficult. A few years ago, people would be presenting sexually explicit evidence of their relationships to convince decision makers that they really were gay or lesbian. And a European court judgment some years ago ruled that out, rightly said that's completely unacceptable. But it does then mean that people will present pictures of themselves holding hands with their partners or going on pride marches. And they'll often get the response that, anyone could take a picture of themselves holding hands with someone of the same sex.
But do we know?
Prove anything.
But do we know in the cases of those who were approved for asylum in the UK, what did they show to prove that?
There's been a shift in recent years to an expectation that people will give an account of some kind of emotional journey. So there will be an expectation that people will have, in their country of origin, at some point had a moment of discovery when they realised they were gay or lesbian. I'm talking specifically about LGB at the moment. And that is the kind of the catalyst for them fleeing their country of origin. And if you can't conform to that narrative, or it doesn't fit your experiences, it's very difficult.
What impact does it have on LGBT asylum seekers not to be believed?
It's really damaging. At a certain point in my interviewing process, I suddenly realized that nearly everyone I'd spoken to had talked about depression, had talked about taking antidepressants. And, you know, it just suddenly hit me that practically everyone I talked to had quite casually almost or taken for granted the fact that they were traumatized, experiencing depression, had real ongoing mental health problems.
Moira Dustin is from the University of Sussex in the UK. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Carol. It's a pleasure to talk to you.